episode is sponsored in part by our friends at Vultr, spelled V-U-L-T-R, because they're all about helping save money, including on things like, you know, vowels. So what they do is they are a cloud provider that provides surprisingly high performance cloud compute at a price that, well, sure, they claim it is better than AWS's pricing. And when they say that, they mean that it's less money. Sure, I don't dispute that. But what I find interesting is that it's predictable. They tell you in advance on a monthly basis what it's going to cost. They have a bunch of advanced networking features. They have 19 global locations and scale things elastically, not to be confused with openly, which is apparently elastic and open. They can mean the same thing sometimes. They have had over 1 million users. Deployments take less than 60 seconds across 12 pre-selected operating systems. Or if you're one of those nutters like me, you can bring your own ISO and install basically any operating system you want. Starting with pricing as low as $2.50 a month for Vultr Cloud Compute, they have plans for developers and businesses of all sizes, except maybe Amazon, who stubbornly insists on having something of the scale all on their own. But you don't have to take my word for it, with an exclusive offer for you. Sign up today for free and receive $100 in credits to kick the tires and see for yourself. Get started at vultr.com/morningbrief. That's vultr.com/morningbrief.
Let's pretend for one terrifying minute that I found myself working for a cloud provider. Let's set the problems that aside. Let's further fantasize that my remit was to be overly broad, to grow the company's cloud business. Lastly, let's go fully divorced from reality and say that I would be allowed to operate on achieving this on a 5 to 10 year time horizon. I know exactly what I would do, so let's get to work. On a longer planning horizon than many companies seem to operate, it would appear that the approach that most of the existing cloud providers are taking today is suboptimal. Their messaging, their product offerings, their enhancements around existing services, and their hiring all swirls around a central theme, which is migrating enterprise workloads into cloud. I get why this is true today. I'm unsure that I've seen much discussion around why this isn't a good long-term play. Today, big enterprises moving to cloud are where the money is. They spend huge amounts on their IT estates, and they don't migrate lightly. There will inevitably come a day when most of them have either migrated or decided firmly that they will not migrate. Therefore, that market has an inherent shelf life and is one that is in decline well within our lifetimes. Consider also that the average tenure of a company on the S&P 500 index is just over 21 years. Bearing that in mind, it therefore tracks that a decent portion of 2050's S&P 500 have not been founded yet. And lastly, consider that the things startups are doing today is what large enterprises will be doing in a few years. We've seen that trend accelerate. Easy examples of that range from developing on Macs, to CI/CD, to using cloud, to launching ridiculous NFT scams. If you're interested in being where the market is going, rather than in charging to where it currently is, it therefore tracks to make your cloud provider appealing to startups. My job then becomes clear. Whether or not I believe that existing legacy businesses are a market in decline or not, it's apparent that the way to win the future is to capture the startup market. The best thing about a new company is that there is no technical debt. Ergo, it's not a migration. Everything is all purely net new. So let's go ahead and start a company. I have registered twitterforpets.com. I've told some good stories to well-moneyed friends, and I've hired a small team. Today, which cloud provider should I pick? Everyone, and I do mean everyone, has an opinion as to what the right answer should be for this, but the correct answer is incredibly simple. I talk to that small team that I just hired, ask them what they have the most experience with, and then I pick that one. Therefore, it logically follows that if I, as the cloud provider, want to capture the startup market, I have to be the one that their team is the most experienced with. Engineers don't spring fully formed from the forehead of some ancient Greek god like Kubernetes, the god of spending money on cloud services. They come from somewhere. Sometimes that's the traditional education system. Sometimes it's from being self-taught. Sometimes it's from boot camps. My goal as a cloud provider is to therefore make myself incredibly compelling as a platform to people operating within those three environments. So let's break this down into steps. Step one, the first item on my list is to fix the platform's free tier, because it kind of cuts against being the place to learn if there's a steady drumbeat of people just learning your platform getting soaked by surprise bills. Since I first did a piece on rethinking the AWS free tier, the bill surprises have dramatically increased. $70,000 bill shocks are dangerous to the learner because somebody is going to eventually do something tragic and rash, but also dangerous in a safer way to the cloud provider's reputation in this market. If someone gets a terrifying bill, they scream for help. People are watching and listening. Their takeaway will be, well, I won't try that platform. Holy hell. That has to stop immediately.
Today's episode is brought to you in part by our friends at Minio, the high-performance Kubernetes native object store that's built for the multi-cloud, creating a consistent data storage layer for your public cloud instances, your private cloud instances, and even your edge instances, depending upon what the heck you're defining those as, which depends probably on where you work. It's getting that unified is one of the greatest challenges facing developers and architects today. It requires S3 compatibility, enterprise-grade security and resiliency, the speed to run any workload, and the footprint to run anywhere. And that's exactly what Minio offers. With superb read speeds in excess of 360 gigs and a 100 megabyte binary that doesn't eat all the data you've got on the system, it's exactly what you've been looking for. Check it out today at min.io/download and see for yourself. That's min.io/download, and be sure to tell them that I sent you.
Step two. Next, I'm going to take a page from Apple's playbook. In the late 1970s, Apple started doing some very strange things. They donated a pile of computers to schools, they provided free hands-on training for teachers, and within a few years, most computers in schools were made by Apple. I learned to type in a computer lab full of ancient, even for the time period, Apple II machines. I would therefore build entire school and boot camp curricula that teach my cloud's platform in an ostensibly agnostic way. I would offer completely free sandboxed environments to people going through those educational pathways, and then I would make the exact same thing free to anyone who dropped by our marketing website and wanted to learn. Making this stuff accessible to anyone who wants to learn is key. You cannot gatekeep it by restricting the educational tools to registered institutions and boot camps if you want to dominate the market that's to come. I talked about this in an article I wrote a while back called "The Dumbest Dollars a Cloud Provider Can Make." Charging for training and then again for certification is a mistake. Step three. While it's tempting to say that this final step is wait a few years, there's a lot to do in the intervening time. I'll want to continually send my own staff through these programs, not only to learn the platform themselves, but also to assess the general feeling throughout the industry. You can't just launch an initiative like this and not keep an intimate touch with how it's going over in the market. This won't work at all from an ivory tower perspective. It's going to need constant adjustment and work. Now, you might ask, well, aren't cloud providers doing this now? And that's a good question. You can certainly make the argument that every one of the major providers has at least made motions in this direction. The problem is that those motions are drowned out by the big enterprise migration story messaging that increasingly is presenting to tomorrow's builders as squabbling over the companies that they're planning to disrupt, rather than conspiring with them to help build that disruption. There's a brighter future here that will look to all the world, and specifically the markets, as if any cloud provider that pursues it is retreating from the field that represents today's cloud wars. Done right, what I'm proposing is that they strategically cede the battle in return for absolutely winning the war. It's going to be a fun decade.
This has been a Humble Pod production.
Stay humble.